This morning, we're on morning session one, learning to live in union with Christ, learning to know the peace of Christ. So let's turn to the outline, to the tab in your notebook, and let's just read that, the main topic and this morning's topic together. Go. Learning to live in union with Christ. Learning to know the peace of Christ. And let's read Romans 1 together. God's eternal purpose is to have a corporate people to be the body of Christ for His expression. His purpose requires the peace of Christ. So this first Roman numeral is really a key point. For God to have a corporate expression on the earth requires the peace of Christ. This song we sang, so precious, about the Lord desiring a body, desiring one man. But in order for them to have that one man, we need this peace to arbitrate in our hearts. That first verse we pray read. The peace arbitrating in our hearts is key, critical, to the Lord getting the one new man. So the peace isn't just for us to live a good Christian life and be good Christians. Rather, it's for the Lord to get His purpose. And as we've seen many times, all verses, everything in the New Testament and in the Old Testament needs to be interpreted and evaluated and considered before the Lord in terms of His eternal purpose, which is to gain a corporate expression. He wants to dispense Himself into us so that He can gain a corporate expression that we could represent Him. So all the verses, this is the thread through the whole Bible that ties all the verses together. For this matter of the peace of Christ, this is tied together in this view. The Lord wants a corporate people to be the body for His expression. This is what the Lord is after. This is why we're here in this college training. For the Lord to get His expression. For the Lord to gain something in us. And so the peace of Christ isn't just for our personal living. Yes, it does have a personal aspect, and we need to know how to follow the Lord day by day. But many Christians today, that's the only reason they think of the peace of Christ. For me, do I have the peace to go to this school? Or do I have the peace to go do this or go do that? But the peace of the Lord, much more, is for His body, for His corporate expression. So this is really why we're looking, studying, considering before the Lord this matter of the peace of Christ. So I'm going to read Ephesians 1:9, the verse there for Romans 1. Making known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Himself. In Ephesians 1:22-23. And He subjected all things under His feet, and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of the one who fills all in all. So again, this shows you the Lord has a purpose. He has an eternal purpose, an eternal plan, and everything He does is with this plan in view. So everything we do, our enjoyment of Christ, is with this plan in view, not just for our own personal joy. So now, Romans 2, the origin of peace. Ephesians 2:14-17, and I'll read these verses also. For he Himself is our peace. It's Christ is our peace. Peace isn't something outside of Christ. When we have Christ, we have peace. He who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition, the enmity, abolishing in His flesh the law of the commandments in ordinances, that He might create the two in Himself into one new man, so making peace. What are the two we're talking about here in Ephesians? Louder? Yes, Gentiles and the Jews. That's the two He made one on the cross. So making peace. So you see, the purpose of the Lord, the peace, is to create the body. So in this context, The peace was created when these two were brought into one, and might reconcile both in one body to God through the cross, having slain the enmity by it. In this case, the enmity was the relationship between the Jews and the Gentiles. There was a lot of enmity. The Lord slew that enmity. And coming, he announced peace as the gospel to you who are far off, and peace to those who were near. So peace is a crucial aspect of our salvation, of the Lord's, of the gospel. Crucial aspect is peace. Peace not only between us and God, but peace between man. Peace between one another. So we need to have peace in both ways, between us and God and one another. Notice in these verses, the focus here that was on the peace between one another. So in the church life, there needs to be peace between one another. You ever have a situation where there was not peace between you and another brother or you and another sister? You know, we'll talk a little bit more about that. But this is why we have the arbitrating peace within us. So there'd be peace between us so we can enjoy the Lord in the church life. Hallelujah. So, point A, Christ died on the cross to make vertical peace between us and God by accomplishing redemption and reconciling us to God. So, vertical peace, Romans 5:1. Therefore, having been justified out of faith, we have peace toward God through our Lord Jesus Christ. So we have peace toward God. When his death on the cross brought us peace toward God. Romans 8:1. There is now then no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. So this is our right as Christians, to have peace between us and God. I know before I was saved, I was 19 at the time when I was saved. That's just a couple of years ago, in case you're wondering. But, pardon me? Or more. Anyway, but I was 19, and my life was just in a turmoil. And I was with some Christians one day, and I'm going to give you a very short version of this. And they were talking, fellowshipping about the Lord. And I was sitting there listening to them, and all of a sudden I realized, he is real to them. They know him. To me, he's just a historical figure. And that really was an amazing contrast to me. A couple days later, someone was preaching the gospel. And as they were preaching, I was considering before the Lord. And my heart was being tugged at. And I was struggling. You know, Jacob wrestled with God. I was wrestling with God. So a fellow made a call to come forward and pray. And I resisted that. But I was at a camp, and a Christian camp. And as I was walking back to my cabin between the pine trees, I said, Lord, I want you to be the Lord of my life. And that made the difference. From then on, all the rest of that time, he's been the Lord of my life. Amen. You know, I can say, just like Jacob said in Genesis, the Lord has shepherded me all the days of my life. So ever since that declaration of faith to the Lord has been shepherding. Yes, there have been struggles. Yes, there have been times when the peace didn't seem to be there. But then you go back to the Lord, and the peace comes back. So it's really a life of walking with the Lord and finding that peace. Realize that peace that came, that ended the turmoil that was in my life. I just thank the Lord for that peace. And as believers, we need to walk in that peace. We need to let that peace arbitrate in our hearts day by day, in a relationship with God and in a relationship with one another. Praise the Lord. And then point B, being right with God is a matter of dealing with our conscience. So Acts 23:1. And Paul, looking intently at the Sanhedrin, said, Men, brothers, I have conducted myself in all good conscience before God until this day. In another place, Paul says, I exercise myself to have a conscience void of offense before God and man. So we need to be those who are before God are exercising and have a conscience void of offense. And when our conscience is clear, we have peace. The word opens up. There's an open heaven. The joy of the Lord is there. And however, when our conscience is not right before the Lord, then almost everything we do to touch the Lord is like pounding against the wall. So what is the most important exercise of our spirit? If you want to exercise your spirit, what's the most important way to exercise your spirit? Actually, I've already said it. Say that louder. Deal with our conscience. When we say exercise our spirit, that's not usually the first thing we think about. But the most important exercise of our spirit is having a conscience clear before the Lord. If our conscience isn't clear, you can call on the Lord, and you just oftentimes that's why our spiritual exercise seems vain. Seems like we're calling, we're prayer reading, we're singing, we're not getting through. Chances are there's some insulation between us and the Lord. So we need to go before the Lord. Lord, clear the insulation away. Clear it away. Then when the insulation is clear, then the call in the Lord is so fresh. The reading of the word is so fresh. The prayer reading is fresh. The singing is fresh. It's not that these practices get old, it's that we get old. We get old, our relationship with the Lord gets old, then the practices become old. So really the first key thing is to have a conscience void of offense before the Lord. And you know, sometimes something that really helps, appreciated Brother Ricky Acosta wrote this point out several times. When you're spending some time in the morning with the Lord, and this is really the, just kind of going back and just strengthening what the brothers were fellowshipping this morning about morning revival, so crucial. And sometimes the best way, one way to consider before the Lord and get it, let His light shine, is consider, Lord, let my eyes look on something I shouldn't have seen? Have I been listening to things I should not have been listening to? Have I my feet taken me places they shouldn't take me? Has my mouth spoken things it shouldn't have spoken? Have my fingers typed in an internet address they shouldn't have typed in? So it's consider those things. You know, that kind of gives the Lord, sometimes you sit there, well, what do I say? What do I confess? I don't know. But you just think it's the parts of our body that cause us to sin. Lord, has my mind thought about things it shouldn't be thinking about? And so as we consider that before the Lord, His light will shine. Again, not to get introspective, but just consider, Lord, are you shining on these things? Oftentimes, as we pray, read over the word, it will shine. Like this morning, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. As we pray over that, we may say, Lord, forgive me, your word is not dwelling in me richly. So many times, just take that word and just pray it back to the Lord, and you realize, Lord, I need to spend more time in your word. Your word needs to dwell more in me richly. Many times in the morning revival, the ministry just shines on me. You just realize, you know, the speaking of the ministry, the speaking of the word shines. So this is the clearing of our conscience. This is having our peace with God. So peace is B1. Peace is the fruit of righteousness. When we are right with God and man in a situation of righteousness, we may enjoy peace as a sweet fruit. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So when we're right with God, when we're clear before Him, we're not wrestling with Him about something, then the joy of the Lord kind of flows. And then there's also the relationship between us and others. And sometimes our roommate, maybe differences between us and our roommate. Maybe the type of food a roommate likes. Maybe a roommate likes certain type of food or certain types of spices that we just don't like at all. Maybe our roommate likes to eat funny things, things we just can't. How could they possibly eat such a thing? Maybe a roommate likes to stay up late and we like to go to bed early. And we like to get up early and our roommate sleeps in, or vice versa. No, these are these types of things. Maybe someone we know is always late, and we like to always be on time, and we give that person a ride all the time. So we want to be on time to the meeting, but this other person is just late. Oh, Lord. These are the types of offenses that the Lord has put on the cross. You know, we can either chew on that offense, or we can just turn to the Lord. This is where, so to speak, the rubber meets the road. You know, how much do we truly enjoy the Lord? Can we enjoy the Lord in the situations that are against our natural person? And the Lord puts us in all kinds of them, all kinds of situations. So, and when you're in this situation, all of a sudden you realize, I don't have any peace. When you're upset with somebody, do you have peace? So this is where the peace needs to arbitrate in our heart. Consider, do I have peace now? No. Is my heart joyful? Is my heart happy now? No. And something, you know, there's a Colossians 1:20 talks about how that, you know, the Lord reconciled all things. And I've heard Brother Ron share on this matter of all things, you know, not just being right with one another, but there's things in our life. I remember in one particular time, and when he shared this, this brought this instance to my mind. I was getting ready for a Lord's Day morning meeting, praying, and we had a little dog that was relatively new to the house, but it was basically trained. It knew better. So it came in and sat down and was looking at me. And I was, you know, and then it left, but there was a little brown deposit left behind. And I tell you, I was not right with the dog. That dog offended me. I was offended. And I was bothered. Why did that dog do that? What type, that dog was trying to leave a message. That wasn't right. Anyway, needless to say, I lost the peace. But we need that. We need to be at peace with God, at peace with man, at peace with the situations around us. So it's this peace. Is as we follow the peace of the Lord in our heart, this is how the Lord builds the body. We need to consider, Lord, I need to have this peace. So really, the purpose of our exercise of our spirit is to be is to touch the enjoyment of the Lord, so that when the peace goes, we know it right away. So that's really why it's so key to exercise our spirit, as we're in the joy of the Lord and the enjoyment and the flowing of life. Then, when that we know right away when something's wrong, and then we confess that to the Lord, and turn back to the Lord. But this is our exercise. And B2, the unique way to be right with God. Let's read that one together. The unique way to be right with God is to apply the blood of Christ by confessing. You know, and in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is one of the most powerful verses for our personal walk before the Lord. When we have confessed, it is forgiven. When we have confessed, it is forgotten. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's thrown our sins away. He's forgotten all about them. Unfortunately, we tend to remember them. The enemy will do two things. Either he will get us so frustrated and cause us, you know, a failure. And then, that was his first trick. He caused us a failure. The second trick is to keep us to remain in that failure. But you know, every time we confess, a confession is a taking of the cross. Lord, I forgive me, I turn away from that thing. I turn back to you from that thing. The enemy will often try to get us to stay and lament in that failure. So he causes the failure, then he gets us to stay there. But if we realize that's his trick, Lord, I confess, I thank you for your forgiveness, hallelujah, I go on. Amen. This really needs to be our walk with the Lord. Not staying in the failure. We don't want to fail, but we're in the flesh, we will fail. So the Lord has given this provision. Thank you, Lord Jesus! Amen. He's given us this provision that when we confess, He forgives. And the blood cleanses us. And cleanses us from all unrighteousness. So we just thank the Lord that He is the cleansing one. The effectiveness of His cleansing blood. Praise the Lord. And the You know, following the inner peace, the friction between the members disappears. So we just need to really consider that. This again, this inner peace is both vertical and horizontal. And so when we follow the Lord in the inner peace, it causes the friction between the members to disappear. This is really the Lord's goal. This is the goal of the peace. Not just that we would have be right with God, but that we would right with God and right with one another. Right with our roommate. Right with the brother we coordinate with. Right with the one we're riding to the meetings with. So, I'm just going to read a small portion here. Through the arbitration of the peace of Christ, our problems are solved. The friction between the saints disappears. Then the church life is preserved, and the new man is maintained in a practical way. So again, the purpose of the peace is to build up the new man. And then, one more, just touching on this matter, the peace is really the sense of life within us. And consider, when you don't have the peace of the Lord, how do you feel? Pretty rotten, right? But when we have, I'm looking at C now. Let's just read C together. In addition to taking heed to our conscience, we must need to know the inner sense in our spirit. Okay, read one together. The sense of life includes satisfaction, strengthening, refreshment, being watered, enlightened, anointing, and flowing. Hallelujah. John 7:37-39. Now on the last day, the great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried out, saying, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. He who believes into me, as the scripture said, out of his innermost being shall flow rivers of living water." How many of us know what that is like? The rivers of living water flowing out of our being. How many have had that sense when you're speaking to someone, when you're calling on the Lord, when you're just enjoying the Lord in the meeting, there's rivers of life flowing? Yeah. Amen. How many of us enjoy that sense before the Lord? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. So, but this he said concerning the Spirit, whom those who believed into him were about to receive. For the Spirit was not yet, because Jesus was not yet glorified. But hallelujah, he has been glorified. We now have this sense of life. So, the sense of life is really the joy and enjoyment, the watering, the flowing of the Lord. So, when we have this sense, we know we're in the peace of the Lord. But when we don't have that sense, then we know there's some insulation between us and the Lord. Or perhaps between us and someone else. Amen. So, amen.
To introduce myself, my name is Simon Yang, and I'm from a church in Columbus. By faith, I'm moving there, in the process of moving there. As late as of last week, I was in the church in Huntington Beach, California, and Priscilla LeBon was serving there for 2 years, and Christine Yan is serving there, and she will still serve there next year. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen.
I'm so excited about a college training. Several of my children went through the college training. And I myself went through a number of college training as a serving one. And I am a witness of many life-changing experiences. Praise the Lord. I remember still one time, my daughter, who just graduated from high school, in the middle of the college training, that was right before she went to college, she called me in the middle of the college training. It was important enough that she called me. She said, "Dad, the church is not just your church. The church is my church now."
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What a life-changing experience. And there was one time a full-time serving brother, a young full-time serving brother, and I was with him in line for lunch. I said, "Paul, how did it come about that you are serving full-time?" And he said, "Well, it was during one of the college training, the morning personal time that turned me upside down." He said, at first, when he came to the college training, I think some of you may have the similar experience. After the session where Brother Tim and Brother John finished their speaking, sent you out to have a time with the Lord, and he says, "Now, what do I do now?" He says, "I try my best to pray, read a verse, pray, read another verse." Oh, I was so exhausted. Look at my watch. Only 5 minutes. I still have 25 minutes. What can I do? And then he learned. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
He learned to have a personal time with the Lord.
Amen.
So the main thing is not how good our speaking is. The main thing is that you must touch the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We must touch the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Amen. Well, Brother Ken talked about beginning. He talked about a conscience. He talked about the inner sense in the spirit. In spirit. I want to touch upon this matter of the difference between the conscience and the inner sense in spirit. The difference is this. You know, this time on the way as we were driving from California, and at a certain point, the bugs sputter on the windshield and got to be so much I could not see clearly. So I had to get off, stop, and then use the squeegee, to clean my windshield so I can see. You know, what is our conscience? Our conscience is the window of our spirit. We know the conscience is the entrance of our spirit. We cannot touch our spirit, like what Brother Ken said, unless our conscience, the window, is clear. Right? I think we all know that. But I want to step further, talk about one more point. That is, I grew up in a country where a lot of people are Buddhist. And my paternal grandparents were Buddhist. And let me tell you, there are some very good Buddhists. They live a life better than we do. Right? They're very righteous, high moral, high ethical standard. So they're in a sense that their window is clear. But when you see through the window, there's nothing. Right? There's nothing there. When you contact them, you realize here is a good moral man. But yet, you don't get any sense that this man has God in him. There's no taste of God. But for us, we are born of God.
Amen.
We have the divine life in our spirit.
Amen.
And in order for us to touch our spirit, it must go through our conscience. But once it goes through our conscience, there are lots of riches in our spirit. You know, I want to impress you upon this matter. That is, when we come to the sea, the sense of life, the sense of peace, and the sense of death, all those senses have lots of adjective, right? That says there are lots of riches, lots of feelings in our spirit. You know, every life has feelings, right? And the lower the life form is, the less the feelings. The higher the life form is, the richer and the keener the feelings. And with the divine life in us is the highest life. That's why we have all these rich adjectives. I have a lot of kids. Some of them, when they were babies, at a certain point, we would introduce them to ice cream. Any of you ever tried to, give the baby the first taste of ice cream? The reaction is always the same. You don't have to teach them. You don't have to, it was not taught. It's automatic because the life, the human life, comes with the human life. It's this sense, I like sweet. Yes. For those of us who are a little older, we can do without so much sense of sweetness. One more scoop of ice cream. The conscience get a little dirty. you try to reason. Well, I have not had sweet for a long time, since this afternoon. Right? You cannot argue, right? And the sense is automatic. When I still remember, when we put a little spoon of ice cream in the baby's mouth, initially she would frown, right? Why? Because it's cold. But then afterwards, she got a taste. She wanted some more, right? That is, in a sense, the sense of the human life. And with us, there is a sense of the divine life. And when you are fed a little bit with Christ, brothers and sisters, you want more. Amen. We want more. We want more of Jesus. More and more and more. We want more of Christ than we ever had before. We want more of Christ's life, rich and glorious. We want more of Jesus, so we'll give him more of us. Sorry, with some of you new ones. This is the old hymn that we used to enjoy. Amen. We want more of Jesus. Okay. Amen. Now let's come to the outline. Brother Ken finished the first one. The sense of life includes satisfaction. And let's read it together. Again.
The sense of life includes satisfaction, strengthening, refreshment, being watered, enlightenment, anointing, and flowing.
Every single adjective is so wonderful. Right? Amen. Praise the Lord. Do we have time? Can we sing one verse of a hymn? Can we turn to 841, stanza 4? Lord, thy life abundant, flowing rich and free, thee refreshes, empowers me, that my life is swallowed, weakness is made strong, all my bonds are broken, turn to song. Let's sing it once.
Abandon, glowing
rich and free, constantly refreshes and empowers me. Death by life is swallowed,
and
Mistra,
all my bonds are broken,
turn to song.
Amen, that's good. One thing I want to tell you is that this verse 4 is not an extraordinary condition. It's your normal condition of a person who is born of God. And when you're in touch with God, when your window is clear, wow, all these things are so real to us. The triune God is flowing in us. Praise the Lord. Constantly refreshes, right? And empowers me. You feel empowered. Right? Maybe not so when you first get up in the morning. But after you contact the Lord, you feel you are empowered. Brothers and sisters, how do we know? What does God want us to do? How do we know? How do you know? You know it by this sense of life. Because I'm satisfied within. I'm enlightened within. I'm empowered within. I know this is God's way. Right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the sense of life. And then the next one, the sense of peace. 2. Let's read that.
Sense of peace includes comfort, harmony, joy, and liberty. Rest, joy, and liberty. Romans 8:6 talks to us. It says, "For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace." And then 2 Corinthians 3:17, "Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is
freedom
in our spirit."
Amen.
Rest in our spirit.
Amen.
One time, a little problem. I offended my wife. And she was here. You know, my wife has been working here in Ohio for a year. So I offended her. I knew I offended her. I shouldn't have said that. But I said that. But it was too late because the hour, you know, time difference. I couldn't call her to apologize. So I felt so bad. So the whole night, I had no rest. And I understood a little bit when Paul said, you know, he came to Troas, right? The door was open to him of the Lord for the gospel. But I found not my brother Titus, so I had no rest in my spirit. If we are in contact with the Lord, in our oneness with the Lord, we have rest. And we have we have joy. That is not the experience only when you are first saved. It's our experience day by day. Amen. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Then the last one, point 3.
The sense of death strife, discord, discomfort,
restlessness, pain, bondage, and grief.
Amen. You say, why do we have the sense of death? Because unless we had the sense of death, we will not return back to the Lord. Yeah. You know, there are some people have this deficiency, right? They have no sense of pain. So when they put their hand on the hot stove, they don't put it away right away, right? They leave their hand there, and their hand is charcoal. So if we don't, if this divine life does not have that sense of death in you, then you go into a realm that's full of death, and you have no feeling, and you stay there. That's terrible, right? So the Lord, divine life has lots of rich senses. Sense of life, sense of peace, and sense of death. For what purpose? So that we can live a life by the divine life. And unless we live a life by the divine life, God's purpose, the body, will not be fulfilled. It takes another life, Amir. It takes another life. When I first got saved, I was even younger than 19. I got saved when I was junior high, a few years ago. I was so really dynamically saved. And all I wanted to do is to please them. In those days, I didn't know anything about salvation. I didn't know anything about regeneration. I didn't know anything about the sense of life, all those things. I didn't know anything. But all I knew was that I wanted to please the Lord. Well, one of the things I knew to do, which is not quite, you know, anyhow, that was, as a junior high boy, you know how junior high boy, how hungry they are, right? So I said, Lord, I want to please you. So I want to fast how many days, how many meals a week I want to fast for you, because I want to please you. The heart is good, but the practice is not perfect, right? We need to live. Now that we have the divine life in us, we need to live by the divine life. Praise the Lord, we have a divine life in us.
Amen.
And this life comes with this life lots of rich feelings, senses. It knows. Our divine life knows. That's why the Bible says, you do not need others to teach you what to do. The same anointing in you will guide you and teach you and bring you into all reality. So, let's come to D. I'm running out of time. 5 more minutes. Let's read D together.
We must learn to let the peace of Christ arbitrate in our hearts for the body.
Amen. The peace of Christ is actually Christ Himself. And the peace of Christ is closely related to the sense of life, the sense of peace, and the sense of death. That's why we spend so much time talking about that. The peace of Christ arbitrate in your heart. What does the word arbitrate mean? Means it's a referee, right? The World Cup just finished, right? Here's the red card, right? Everybody has to listen to that, right? So the referee decides. And that's one meaning. The other meaning is that Christ, the peace of Christ, must preside in among us in our relationship. I'm with you. I'm with Andrew. I like Andrew. But we cannot let our own natural affection preside, right? Between you and me. Who should preside in our relationship. Christ, the peace of Christ. That's how the body is going to build. If we depend on our natural relationship, the body cannot be built. The body can only be built by Christ, by the divine life. And let this Christ, let the divine life, let the peace of Christ be enthroned in our hearts. I know I'm running out of time. Let me just go to 2.2. And I like this prayer together. So let me read the first part, and it comes to the prayer. May we pray together. We need to set aside our opinion, our concept, and listen to the word of the indwelling referee by praying together. Lord Jesus, I love you, Lord. Lord, I care not for my opinion. I care for your peace. I am not for my preference.
I want your peace to arbitrate in me,
to rule in me, to rule in me, to make all the decisions. May we pray this prayer all the time. Now, number three, if we open to the Lord when we are offended. And early Brother Ken shared these things. When we are offended, don't chew the offenses. Rather, talk to the Lord. Contact the Lord. It's unavoidable in the church life that we offend one another. I offend you, you offend me. But if we dwell on the offenses rather than talking to the Lord, we fell into Satan's snare. You remember the Lord's prayer in Matthew 6? He says, "Forgive us our debts as we have forgiven our debtors." Did you hear that? Huh? As we have forgiven our debtors. Lord, we have forgiven our debtors, so please forgive us our debts. He said, no, that's not fair. Right? Oftentimes, I will complain, that is not fair. Those who are strong and offend others, then there should be a millstone put around their neck. Throw them into the ocean, right? No. We need to learn to turn to the Lord. Lord Jesus, I love you. Lord Jesus, I love you. And sometimes, and let me tell you, they're oftentimes not real offenses, right? Imaginary offenses. Why did Ken look at me that way the other day? Huh? Yeah? Or why did so-and-so say such and such thing to me? What did he really mean? Right? Those are imaginary offenses. Brothers and sisters, when Satan send a fiery dart into your mind, just turn to the Lord. Amen. Lord Jesus, I love you.
Amen.
One time I was coordinating with a few brothers, three of them actually, about a certain matter. And we actually had a good time together. After our time, prayer, fellowship, 2 hours or longer, and I was really satisfied. I said, Lord, this is marvelous. This is wonderful. Then I was driving home. And the mistake was, I forgot to call on the name of the Lord. Then the fiery dart came in. Why did Roger say that to me tonight? Right? Hey, have you ever had this experience? Only me? Huh? And the more I thought about it, that was a mistake number two, right? The more I thought about it, the more it says, Why? I must get even with him next time. And actually, after a while, the Lord touched me. Why don't you just pray for Roger? And as I turned to the Lord, you know, I couldn't pray for Roger when I'm just in the heat of my anger, right? But I just turned to the Lord, call on the name of the Lord, and I pray for our brother Roger. You know what happened? I could truly say at that time, I love my brother Roger. That's the body, right? You know that there's a verse in Colossians, right? 3, 10, the verses that we read, yeah? It says, put on love. Put on all these compassions and all these virtues, right? And put on love. How can we put them on? We put them on by contacting the Lord, by meeting the Lord. And that's it's how we can live for the building up of the body of Christ. Okay. So, can we read 5 all together?
If we allow
the peace of Christ to partake in us, and if we are filled with the word of Christ, we shall have the new man
in a practical way.
This fulfills God's eternal purpose.
Amen. So, what is the focus of this message, this lesson? Now, after we want to read this focus together, but after we read the focus, as I sit down, we would like all of you, as many as possible, to stand up, you know, in your place and release some words from your spirit. Okay. Amen? Okay, let's read it together.
Accomplished on the cross to be lived out in the body of Christ, we must learn to live
by the inner sense of life.
This is
to allow the peace of Christ
to arbitrate
in our hearts, in our relationship
with others.
Amen. The peace already accomplished by Christ on the cross, right? He broke down the middle wall of partition. Right, and he created in himself of the two into one new man, making peace. It's already done, but we need to experience it in our daily life. And the way to experience this is to live by the inner sense of life, that is to allow the peace of Christ to arbitrate in our hearts. Okay? Amen. So, stand up and share.